I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on a snowy Monday morning, January the 15th, Martin Luther King Day. And we will, by the way, be carrying the state's annual tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The ceremony, hosted by Wisconsin Public Radio's Jonathan Overby, comes your way at noon today, live from the state capitol rotunda. Lots of music and speeches, including remarks from Governor Jim Doyle and Congressmember Tammy Baldwin, from noon until about 1:45 this afternoon. This special will preempt the last half hour of Larry Mueller's call-in, all of Chapter a Day, and part of the first hour of Talk of the Nation. You can hear Chapter a Day online. It will be posted online on WPR.org, and it is always rebroadcast at 11 o'clock each evening, so you can catch it there as well. Now let's get to the issue at hand this hour, a letter that will be sent to our U.S. senators and U.S. representatives from our guests and other groups who choose to sign on to the idea. It asks the 110th Congress to seriously consider an increase in the alcohol tax. Should the federal excise tax on alcoholic beverages be increased? Our guest says a hike is long overdue and it could help offset the public health and safety costs of alcohol consumption. We will talk with him about this effort and wonder what you think about it. We welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. In Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890, or you can send your question or comment via email, talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is George Hacker, director of the Alcohol Policies Project at the Center for Science in the Public Interest, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Yeah, thanks.
How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. I got an email from a listener with a letter from your group that was looking for organizations to sign on to a letter that will go to Congress. It was specifically looking for organizations to sign on to this effort, not individuals, at least not at this point, wanting these organizations to sign on by this Wednesday. Why are you doing this?
Well, we've been actually working on alcohol tax issues for more than 20 years, primarily because raising alcohol taxes is one of the most effective ways of reducing consumption and reducing harm from the consumption of alcoholic beverages. Plus, it's a fairly justified means of raising money to pay for needed societal costs.
Yeah, we'll go into that, but are you getting a lot of organizations signing on to this effort?
Yes, we are. So far, we have approximately 50 or 60 signed on.
Yeah,
and it's just a question of getting through their boards of directors sometimes, and getting their attention to an issue that may not be central to their own mission, but that's related nonetheless.
Yeah, what sorts of groups think a hike in the federal alcohol tax is a good idea?
Oh, well, a couple of groups that have not yet signed on, which support this measure and have for many years, include Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the American Medical Association, which have policies that support higher taxes on alcoholic beverages. But the groups that have signed on already, and there are many at the local and state level as well, include the American College of Preventive Medicine, the Consumer Federation of America, a couple of religious organizations, the National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners, the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, Security on Campus, groups such as that.
Yeah, give us an idea right now. What is the alcohol tax?
Well, at the federal level, the tax on a beer amounts to about 5 cents per 12-ounce serving. The tax on an 80-proof shot or 1.5-ounce serving of spirits amounts to about 12 cents. And the tax on a 5-ounce glass of wine amounts to about 4 cents.
Yeah, and it's been a while since this tax was increased?
Well, actually, the beer and wine taxes have been increased only once since 1951, and that was in 1991. And the tax on distilled spirits at the federal level has been increased twice since 1951, once in 1985 and once in 1991.
Yeah. And why do you say that it's time to do this again?
Well, you know, now that the Congress has changed hands, there will be many attempts to put some money into sorely needed social and health programs to benefit Americans. Child care and health care for young people, unemployment benefits, all kinds of things that are being talked about in the new Congress. And the new Congress is very conscious of the need to pay for some of those programs. And the alcohol tax is a place where one could raise potentially billions of dollars over several years to support some of those programs without adding to the budget deficit.
We're talking with George Hacker, director of the Alcohol Policies Project at the Center for Science in the Public Interest, who says it's time Congress increased the alcohol tax. What do you say, or what do you want to ask? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 17 minutes past 6 o'clock right now. We're talking this hour about whether or not the federal excise tax on alcoholic beverages, should be increased. We're talking with a guest who says yes, and we wonder what you think and what questions you have. We have some open lines at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Our guest is George Hacker. He is director of the Alcohol Policies Project at the Center for Science in the Public Interest. The center has been looking for organizations to sign on to a letter that will be sent to Congress, the 110th Congress, urging members to increase, not decrease, the federal excise tax on alcoholic beverages. We'll get to the phones in just a moment, George Hacker, but is there some pressure to decrease the federal excise tax? Why is it worded that way?
Well, in fact, since the last increase on alcoholic beverages, two of the industries, the beer industry and the distilled spirits industry, have been actively lobbying Congress to roll back the tax increase to their 1951 levels. So our effort is a means of informing members of Congress to ignore that effort, which we think is dangerous and would fuel alcohol problems, and instead consider finding new revenues that are available in alcohol tax in the alcohol tax. And one of the reasons why this is so popular, actually, and almost all opinion polls on this subject show that upwards of 70% of the population supports higher taxes on alcoholic beverages, particularly when they're earmarked or directed toward some social good, including alcohol prevention and treatment. And the reason that it's popular is that very few people in this country, very few adults, drink enough to really be badly affected by it. In fact, most will pay either nothing or just pennies a month because they drink so little.
Yeah. What about the lower-income people would be adversely affected more so than higher-income people or
well,
not?
Well, yes and no. If you look solely at their income versus upper-income people, perhaps lower-income people are more affected. But if you look at the facts that lower-income people drink less, that lower percentages of lower-income people drink than upper-income people, and that drinking is much more concentrated among lower-income people, I mean the volume of drinking, than it is among upper-income people, you find that only a relative handful of lower-income people will feel the negative effects of this tax, but that for the most part, it will be paid by heavy drinkers, who consume probably 80% or more of all the alcohol consumed in this country, and that's only 10 or 15% of all the drinkers, and that among those heavy drinkers, they're more concentrated at the lower income level, so that you have fewer people in that income category who will be affected than among higher income people.
Let's take some calls. Erwin in Westby is with us first. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think?
I fully support the professor's effort here. I think
Yes, he's not a professor, but he appreciates that.
Oh, I apologize for that.
Well, that's okay.
Maybe he should be a professor. But I think our drug problem with alcohol in this country causes more devastation and heartbreak with people that drink and people that are consequences of drinking. And if this would educate people and help the people with the problem, I would be all for it.
Well, I think that Erwin has it perfectly right. And the fact is that there is a tremendous disconnect between the amount we raise in taxes on alcohol and the amount that is spent cleaning up the problems related to alcohol in this country. The economic costs related to alcohol consumption in America today are about $200 billion a year, and at all levels, state, federal, and local, we raise something like $18 billion. So there's more than a 10-to-1 ratio of harm related to compared to the amount of revenue that we receive from alcohol to clean up some of that harm.
What are the cleanup costs? What's included in those economic costs of $200 billion?
Most of those costs relate to morbidity and mortality, otherwise known as lost work and lack of productivity, health care costs, criminal justice costs, social work costs, domestic relations, all kinds of things.
Yeah, and how much are you or the what is the proposed increase that is being asked for?
Well, we have not yet specified an amount that's subject to discussion, and usually this kind of a very hot potato is something that's decided late in the game and when people look around for pockets to pick. To pay for programs. So we're not going to specify a particular amount right now, although we have over the years made a number of recommendations ranging from doubling to raising the tax to account for inflation, at least since the last increase. These taxes are set at flat levels per volume of liquid, so that they decrease, their value decreases as the dollar weakens, as it deflates. And for that reason, we think that the tax should at least keep up with inflation as if it were a percentage of the price, and it should be indexed in the future to keep up with inflation so it doesn't lose its value almost immediately after an increase.
Yeah, and are you proposing that this money be earmarked for, say, rehabilitation?
We are, as many people have proposed at the state level, and, you know, we've been working with activists and state officials in many places around the country to raise taxes at the state level as well, and it's somewhat easier to earmark the funds at the state level, given the state, than it is at the federal level. But that's one thing that we would like to see because it increases the popularity of the tax, and it also provides some badly needed funds for those purposes which are generally underfunded.
Thanks to Erwin for the call. Next we go to Ed in Black River Falls. Hi, Ed.
Hello there. How are you today?
Very good. Go ahead.
Glad you can hear me all right, because I'm on a cell phone.
Well, we hear you, but so go ahead before we lose you.
Okay. My thought is this. If you want to raise the alcohol tax, go on ahead. I don't have a problem with it. But at the same time, we need to get rid of the income tax, which is unconstitutional because of a fatal flaw in the Constitution.
Yeah, you don't like the income tax, but you're fine with increasing the alcohol tax. Now, tell us why you're okay with increasing the alcohol tax, and let's keep it on that focus.
Well, like I say, well, basically I'm proposing tip for tap. You know, increase one, get rid of the other.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ed, and it is a little difficult to hear you, but George Hacker, I think... besides whether or not the income tax is constitutional or not, some would say let's pay for these various social programs with the income tax. Let's not look to these so-called user taxes for that sort of thing.
Well, I suppose some would say that. It flies in the face of hundreds of years of history in this country. The alcohol tax was the first levy in 1791, and is a traditional part of our tax base, and in fact, until the 40s and 50s, it provided really substantial parts of total revenues in this country. At one point, I think in 1940, it amounted to 10% of all revenues collected. Of course, the income tax has increased dramatically since then, and today the alcohol tax at the federal level provides considerably less than one-half of 1%. Of all the revenue collected. So alcohol excise taxes, given the nature of the product, and this is a special product, this is no ordinary commodity we're talking about, because it does cause such massive harm in our society. And for that reason, it's always been taxed specially.
Yeah. You say that it causes massive harm, but is the money that's being collected right now, is it earmarked to take care of that harm, or is it just going into a general fund and being used for anything?
Right now, at the federal level, the tax revenues just go into the general fund. They are not earmarked for alcohol prevention and treatment or any other such programs. And we think that's a mistake, given those programs are hopelessly underfunded. I mean, the federal tax revenues amount to about $8 billion a year, and that's in excess of what's spent on alcohol prevention and treatment programs.
Our guest is George Hacker. He is director of the Alcohol Policies Project at the Center for Science in the Public Interest, one of the groups that says it is time that Congress increased the federal excise tax on alcohol, saying it is long overdue that this tax be increased and the money could be used to help pay for the costs of alcohol consumption and abuse. What do you think? What questions do you have? Do you think it's time to hike the alcohol tax? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll get to more of your calls after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up now at about 6:36 on this Monday, January the 15th. We're talking with a guest who says it's time we increase the federal tax on alcohol. His group supports a hike in the federal excise tax on alcohol, and his group is looking for more groups to sign on to a letter to Congress to consider what he says is an under-tapped source of revenue to help pay for the prevention and treatment of alcohol-related problems. We wonder what you think of this idea, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Our next caller is Dan in Jefferson. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks for taking me. I agree. This is great because some of this beer that's out there is very inexpensive. I like to drink. I don't drink heavily, but occasionally I like to go out and buy it. But, for example, 30 cans of beer you can buy for under $12. That's really cheap. And for a double, even in tax, would only raise it about $1.50. And what's $1.50? It's the same for cigarettes, but it's about time they find something else to tax besides cigarettes, because I used to smoke. I made my decision for my health and for how much it was becoming to purchase a pack of cigarettes, you know, and I had to quit. And you're going to have the same rule with drinking. People are going to decide what's more important, money or drinking. It'll cut down on accidents. And for the people who choose to drink, the government makes money off of it.
And
that's the greatest idea. I mean, what other thing can they tax that people love to do, you know, and kill people?
So, all right, you're serious, Dan. You think this is a good idea because it's not going to be that much money, and you think it might force some people to cut down on their drinking?
Yeah. And for the government, I mean, even if they raised it not even 5 cents, raised it even 10 cents, still, this is America. We make a lot of money. People say sometimes we don't, you know, because those are the people in the lower income bracket. But if you're in a lower income bracket, you're there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because you drink too much.
Well,
you can't make it to work. You know, it's called get off your butt, think about responsibilities, get to work and make some money, and put what's most important first.
Well, I don't know if we need to go into whether people who are low income drink too much, but George Hacker, who is with, by the way, the Center for Science in the Public Interest, Dan brings up a couple of points that, for instance, beer doesn't cost all that much anyway, and even if you doubled this tax, it would only mean a couple of bucks.
Well, I think Dan makes a number of really good points, although I disagree with him on the issue of lower income people drinking more, and in fact, the data show that lower-income people drink less, that fewer of them drink than upper-income people. And as I said earlier, the heavy drinking is concentrated, much more concentrated in the lower-income cohorts than it is in the upper-income cohorts. But the points that Dan makes related to beer being cheap and that the tax could be raised substantially are very important. If you look at the relative price of beer over the years, beer is far cheaper today, maybe 25% cheaper today relative to other products than it was about 25 years ago. And that encourages consumption. And it also encourages consumption by price-sensitive younger people. So it's no surprise that the National Academy of Sciences, in its last report, actually its first report, on combating underage drinking, recommended a tax, increasing taxes on alcoholic beverages, particularly on beer, which is the beverage of choice of young people in America, to deter young people from starting early and from drinking a lot. And there are many, many studies that show that raising the tax on beer will have just that effect. It will reduce consumption, particularly among younger people. And that translates into fewer traffic crash deaths, fewer accidents, fewer suicides, and less costs for society.
Yeah. Dan brings up that the tax on cigarettes does seem to be increased, maybe in Wisconsin anyway. We're just hearing about a possible $1 increase per pack of cigarettes, and some people are wondering, why do we keep on taxing cigarettes time after time? Why not beer? Wisconsin might hike the cigarette tax, but not the beer tax.
Well, actually, there is some interest among prevention people, as well as some legislators in Wisconsin, to raise the tax on alcoholic beverages, including beer. But as you well know, there's a very important constituent in Wisconsin that produces beer and that also wields considerable political power in that state. And to say that the alcoholic beverage industry is a powerful force both at the state level and in Washington is quite an understatement. It's amazing that the beer wholesalers, the National Beer Wholesalers Association, is the second largest PAC, political action committee, in Washington in terms of its contributions to Congress. The beer industry. You know, you look at all the industries in America, the pharma and the car industry, banking, lawyers, all those huge interest groups, yet the beer industry is number two, and mainly because they know they are vulnerable, potentially vulnerable, to the same fate that tobacco has had in the last 15 or 20 years. And they're doing everything to slow down the effort to treat alcoholic beverages from a public health perspective in the same manner that tobacco has been treated.
Yeah. Any comments, George Hacker, on those who say sin taxes, as they call them, are not the way to go, because while they might discourage the consumption because you're increasing the price of this particular product, you're depending on paying for critical social programs with money that eventually, if everything works, goes away.
Well, I'm not suggesting that we make those programs dependent solely on alcohol tax revenues. Certainly not at the federal level. So I wouldn't, you know, and I don't think that alcohol consumption is that sensitive to price that all the money will go away. I mean, people are going to continue to drink. This will a tax increase, particularly of the kinds that are politically feasible, will not affect consumption so dramatically as to eliminate the tax revenues from those products. That's just not going to happen. And in fact, the history of tax increases, both at the federal level and at the state level, show that there's a substantial increase in revenues after the tax goes up.
We're talking with George Hacker. He is director of the Alcohol Policies Project at the Center for Science in the Public Interest, who says it's time Congress increased the alcohol tax. 1-800-642-1234. We have open lines to find out what you think about this idea or what you want to ask about this. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890-263-1890. Our guests group will be sending a letter to Congress that encourages U.S. senators and U.S. representatives to increase, not decrease, the federal excise tax on alcoholic beverages, saying that this hike is long overdue and that the money raised could help pay for critical social programs. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up now in about 14 minutes before 7 o'clock. We're talking about whether or not the federal excise tax on alcohol should be increased. Our guest says yes. He is George Hacker, director of the Alcohol Policies Project at the Center for Science in the Public Interest. The center says that there are many reasons to increase the tax on alcoholic beverages. It's long overdue. It's been a long time since this tax has been increased, and taxes on alcoholic beverages have really fallen dramatically when you consider inflation, saying that an increase in the federal alcohol excise tax is justified. Current alcohol tax revenues, the group says, don't come close to offsetting the public health and safety costs of alcohol consumption, saying that the increase in the tax is popular. Most Americans support this, and that it would be fair. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. The Center for Science in the Public Interest is circulating a letter for organizations to sign on to supporting an alcohol tax increase, looking for people to sign on to this letter, not individuals, but companies or organizations, by Wednesday, January 17th. Is there some reason why there is a deadline of this week, George Hacker?
Well, I mean, we just want to start things moving. I mean, you can't wait around forever to communicate with Congress, and mainly because the ideas are being thrown around on Capitol Hill, and people want to have some revenues to back those ideas.
Yeah, and people, groups or organizations that are interested can contact you or the Center for Science in the Public Interest.
That's right. May I give our our website and a couple of one email address?
Sure.
Okay, our website where you can find information about taxes and other alcoholic beverage issues is www.cspinet.org, and then look for the alcohol section, and that'll take you there. And on the issue of alcohol taxes, people can contact Kimberly Miller at kmiller@cspinet.org. You know, there's one other thing that I wanted to add to what you're saying, and you made it very plain that we're only seeking organizations on this letter we're sending to the Hill, but I don't want to discourage individuals from independently contacting their federal or state legislators, for that matter, about this issue. If they believe that this is a means of raising needed revenue and a means of helping to both prevent alcohol problems by depressing consumption or prevent alcohol problems by providing funds for needed alcohol prevention and treatment programs, then by all means, I encourage individuals to make their views known to their policymakers. So we don't want to discourage individuals. It's just that you know, we don't have the capacity to gather and communicate with all of those people.
Back to the phones. Tyler in River Falls is with us. Hi, Tyler.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm all for the tax, mainly because I'm a home brewer, so I wouldn't have to pay the tax. I do drink beer, but it wouldn't really affect me. But then I thought about, you know, small breweries, microbreweries, how this would affect them in comparison to the huge mass-produced beer.
Yeah, would this hurt the beer business, especially the small micro brewer type of George Hacker?
We don't think so, for a couple of reasons. Number one, the tax on you know, some of these first of all, the micro brewed beers usually are more costly than other beers brewed, particularly more costly than the mass produced beers in this country. And so the tax, any tax increase would be a smaller percentage increase on those prices than on others. But also, there is built in at both the federal level and in many states an exemption for the first 100,000 barrels or so of production, so that small brewers would not have to pay the increase or all of the increase, depending on how the tax provision is drafted. But frequently, measures are taken to protect small brewers from such an increase, because, you know, the products they put into the marketplace, because they are such a small percentage of the alcohol that is consumed in America, you know, they really don't have the same kind of obligation that Anheuser-Busch and Diageo and the companies that put massive amounts of alcohol into circulation.
Yeah, and you mentioned at the beginning of the program the federal tax on beer is, what was it, 5 cents a bottle?
No, it's a nickel. Well, it depends on the bottle. It's about a nickel per 12-ounce serving.
Okay, and you don't have a specific number in mind when you're talking about increasing it at this point.
Not at this point, although, as I said, we think that a you know, at least doubling is justified, and indexing future taxes to inflation so that the tax rate doesn't constantly erode due to inflation over the years.
Thanks to Tyler. Next, we go to Tom in Heartland. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning. You know, this all sounds good coming across. So we're going to put it into social programs. We're going to take the beer away from the younger people that are driving when they shouldn't or drinking when they shouldn't. Once again, it's a tax and spend, tax and spend. We had cigarette money, not to get off that the alcohol subject, but come back to it. We had cigarette money from lawsuits. Did it ever go back into the social programs that it was supposed to go into to stop people from smoking and education? Never happened. The governor took it, put it into everything else, paid down his debt because it was tax and spend again. You take road taxes. We have the highest, just a second, we have the highest fuel taxes in the nation. They raid the transportation fund, and they stick it into general funds and spend, so now we got to raise the wheel tax and the license taxes in the state. It never goes to where it's supposed to go. 35,000 people were killed through alcohol-related deaths on the road last year. We're the only country in the world that allows that, and we keep fining people to death, but we never really get to the root of the problem. It's another program of let's take this money, it'll route someplace else. It's more taxation, and we really don't care about the root of the problem and putting it into programs that's going to prevent people from drinking. We know drinking as minors is illegal. Do we uphold the laws? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
All right, we keep making it sound good so people fall into this trap, but once you install these laws, people will never know if the money goes to where they said it was going to go. And you darn right know it isn't going to go there.
Yeah. George Hacker, that's people are worried you're going to increase or Congress will increase this tax and that money's going to go into some black hole somewhere and not at the problem.
Well, you know, I think the caller makes a very good point. And if it were under our control, we would ensure, as we are attempting to, that the money flows to address some of the enormous problems related to alcohol consumption in this country. Unfortunately, we don't have that kind of control over the United States Congress. I think I agree with the caller, and I think one of the major points is that people will support the tax if they know it's going to a good cause or to reduce some of the problems related to alcohol, but people's support wanes when it comes to just raising taxes. I mean, none of us like to pay taxes. It's, you know, that's pretty plain. But the fact is that even if you ask Americans whether they support an increase in alcohol taxes, even about half of the people support that, particularly when it's compared to increases in other taxes. And it's just I think, regrettable that we don't use more of the funds to pay for some of the programs that the caller mentioned.
Yeah. If one of the goals is to cut down on underage drinking or something along those lines, why not, as Tom suggests, just crack down, enforce the laws that are already on the books, crack down on the problem rather than tax and spend?
Well, I think that's one solution, and we've, in the last 15 years or so, we have seen increases in law enforcement. We have much better laws on the books. We have begun to address some of those things, but not nearly as effectively as we can. And certainly, the levels of focus in addressing these problems differs state to state. And in some places, it's been better than others.
Yeah. Let's take one more call. Guy in Dallas. We're almost out of time, Guy, but please go ahead.
3 points. My understanding is you guys already sucker us out of $21 a gallon for distilled beverages. Number two, if your concern is with health care, tax soda pop. I would anticipate if you did a study based on my empirical observations, you have a much higher cost to society in terms of obesity, tooth decay, etc. from soda pop.
You already tax the booze enough, George Hacker, at least Congress does, but tax soda instead if you're concerned about health care costs.
Well, you know, I don't want to deny that that might be an effective means, but I'm not familiar enough, and I would sort of doubt that soda pop in itself has the same economic, social, law enforcement, and other health effects that that alcohol does in this society. It doesn't have the broad sweep and doesn't sort of penetrate society quite as alcohol does.
And there has been some talk about maybe doing that.
That's right.
Yeah, so we'll that'll be another program. George Hacker, thanks a lot for being with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
George Hacker, director of the Alcohol Policies Project at the Center for Science in the Public Interest, a group that is advocating for and looking for organizations to sign on to a letter that will be sent to members of the 110th Congress urging them to increase the federal excise tax on alcoholic beverages. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.